This is K2PCB. K2PCB, listening for any calls.
K2PCB, this is KE2GDQ. How are you on this Tuesday morning?
Well, for the most part, I'm pretty good. The cold weather's pretty cold, relatively speaking, of course. We haven't really had any snow, but it is 38 degrees this morning. And coming out of this weekend, I know you were talking about being a little froggy last weekend. Coming out of this past weekend, I'm a little sinusy. I don't know if it's the weather change, or I know we had Lynn's great nephew over on Tuesday, and he was all sniffly and blowing his nose, and yeah. Maybe that caught up to me after myself down for the weekend, but nothing too major, not too bad. I feel like I'm already getting better. I'm surprised the sun's up. I guess it's the spring ahead, fall back being in our favor. I just didn't remember it being this bright yesterday.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the advantages of standard time, I guess, is that the sunrise is a little bit earlier. I haven't checked to see when it is, but it seems about right.
Yeah, I was listening to the Puget Sound Repeater Group and PSRG, or the WW7 PSR system, and they do their nets every day. If you haven't tuned into those are kind of fun. They do them at 9, noon, and 9 p.m. Seattle time, so 3 hours behind us. And I was listening to one the other day, and they were talking about the time shift. And the one girl was saying how she prefers daylight savings time and doesn't like standard time. And I guess I don't know what I like either. Would I want my daylight in the morning, so it makes it nice for commute time, or would I like it in the evening? But I know we're gonna, well, yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe I'd like it in the evening.
From what I've heard, that's what polls say, is that people prefer the sunlight in the evening. They would much rather go to work in the dark and come home in light. But I know that when I was working, it seemed like this time of year I would go to work when it was dark, and I would come home when it was dark, and it got to me a little bit.
Yeah, I think this light that we have here, we're definitely going to lose. It'll be dark to dark, as you say. So we have another month and a bunch. Yeah, a month and a bunch of losing our daylight. Yeah, I mean, it is nice to drive with a little bit of light like this as it is right now, but the dark doesn't bother me either. Yeah, I wouldn't mind just sticking to one time. I don't know if having the light one way or another is much of an advantage for me. Anyway, I've been thinking a lot about Linux scripts, and I started working with ChatGPT to write a script for my mobile node, because it doesn't always connect the way I want it and in a timely fashion. So I wanted to run a bash script at startup, verify that the asterisk server is running, or services running, for Allstar, then check to verify that there is internet access, one that has an IP address, and then check that it can and ping something. So I'm asking it to ping my k2pcb.com, and then from there I'd like to connect into my hub and make my connection, and to hopefully make the link in when I turn my truck on a little more reliable. Sometimes it connects, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I have to manually do it. And I think it's a timing issue on when I have internet. So I am I'm playing around with that, and maybe time permitting, I'll deploy that over the weekend and test that out. So.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I hope it works for you. Last night I was able to flash a USB with Ubuntu for Linux, and I'm hoping either tonight when I get back from Pistol or sometime tomorrow to load it into the old computer. I put the hard drive in, and we'll see what happens.
All right, I have to assume you're using the GUI full desktop version of that as a desktop replacement?
Yes, yes, because this computer, the hard drive died, and so there was nothing to to recover off of it. So, yeah, I put a new solid-state drive in the computer and haven't booted it up yet. We'll do that, like I said, either tonight or sometime tomorrow.
Yeah, Ubuntu is really nice. I've been using it for years. I know some people have gravitated away towards, like, Manjaro and then some of the, application-specific distributions, but yeah, I still maintain a install of Ubuntu. I have Ubuntu and Manjaro are the two kind of staples right now. I see nothing wrong with Ubuntu. I think it's pretty solid as a desktop replacement. I know Higbee moved away from it, and but no, I think it's a good place to start. And all your productivity stuff, most of your, if not all of your ham stuff will work on there. You can find versions for it. I think you'd be fine. That's perfect. And going to the solid state drive, it should be relatively snappy.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. And it makes sense to have a dedicated computer just for ham radio. So I also worked on, I'm hoping, I haven't tried it yet, to program a another channel for this for Ross's node. I don't know if it worked yet.
Oh, if you programmed it and you want to test it, we can do that very easily here. I have both modes programmed in.
Okay, I will move to that channel and give me a shout and see if it works. If you don't hear anything back, then obviously we know it didn't work, right? And we'll come back to this one.
Sounds good. This is K2PCB.
K2PCB, this is KE2GDQ. I guess it didn't work.
When I was over there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could hear you loud and clear. You gave me a full meter full of strength.
You're selecting the PL, and you have to step through each of the different BL or CTCSS modes. You just have to make sure you select the one that is for transmit and receive. I think you might be just doing receive, if that's even an option in that radio. I was not hearing you. I was seeing the signal there, but you weren't opening my squelch.
Okay. All right. I can look into that and see where that is, and try it again. And see, we can do it again tomorrow. This is KE2GDQ. Is Ross in there or Jeff?
KC2NVM, good morning. Have you looked at Dragon OS? It's Linux, I believe it is a Ubuntu derivative, but it is specialized for ham radio and has a whole bunch of SDRs and slow scan TV programs.
I have not. I can do the search on that today, and if I need to, I can flash another thumb drive and do that. I'll look into that, sure. I know that Ross has mentioned that. I think he was using that on field day when I was out with you guys, Travis. Is that correct?
I know Ross was definitely playing around with one of those. I'd have to let him speak to which distribution he was using.
I do believe it's a derivative of Lubuntu with an L. I don't know if that adds something or if that changes, but I think it is a base derivative of that. Seemed pretty good. I have 5 hard drives that I can go between Ubuntu, Dragon, Parrot, Fedora. I got rid of the one I had that had Kali on it, because I have a laptop with Kali, or Kali, depending on if you're British or not. But I didn't see the point of having a Kali Linux on a desktop when it's supposed to be kind of for penetration testing. It's going to be kind of mobile. But, I'm having fun. Oh, and Parrot is another one, but I do believe it's more security-based.
I'll definitely look around and see what else I've got, or what else is out there. Now that I've created a flash drive, that's pretty easy using Alina Etcher.
Yeah, you could just create a Dragon OS thumb drive, run it without actually installing it. Just run it from the thumb drive. It'll do a live install. And I just saw a Jeep Cherokee with a dipole antenna sticking off the top of it, 3 foot in each direction.
A Jeep with a dipole antenna. Interesting.
Yeah, Ross and I keep seeing that vehicle around. We think he works over at Avox. What's the... Safran? Safran? Yeah, maybe... Something like that. Safran used to be, oh my goodness. What the heck was it before Avox? Oh, I know you're saying it right now, but I'm trying to get it to come to the tip of my tongue, and Scott Aviation. So Ross, are you in there? Can you confirm that it was Dragon that you were running?
Yep, good morning everybody. Yep, that was me. I was running Dragon OS. Good morning, everybody. I had to get gas. Got the frog this morning. Had to get gas as well, and it seemed like somebody wanted a Bud Light very bad. There was an accident on Bowen and Broadway involving a Bud Light truck.
You know, I've seen the Bud Light truck in Frank's parking lot there, and the cop cars. I just figured, maybe somebody was really thirsty this morning and wanted to be the... get the first cold beverage coming off the truck, but maybe that wasn't it.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I was late to it. It must have just happened ahead of me. It looked like he tried to make a right turn into Frank's, and then must have been in the passing lane. He took the turn, and didn't realize there was a truck there, and kind of crunched it in there. But nobody was hurt. I didn't call a fire department or ambulance or anything. I think it's just, like I said, they wanted their Bud Light this morning.
Speak in the morning because I'm not paying attention. It's 6:45, so I'm going to sign with you guys, and I'll catch you in there. This is K2PCB.
Hey, Travis and Jeff. We'll see you in there. And Brad, we got to work on this PL tone of yours.
Yes, it sounds like I've got half of it. I just need to figure out the other half. So we'll give that a try today.
Yeah, you'll get it. Like I said before, you said you're good at programming the bull fangs. Program the bull fangs to that same tone, and then, like I said, then set up the mobile, and then give it call out, and see if you can hear yourself come back on the bull fang. If the bull fang opens up, you should have it set right.
Yeah, Travis said that he got signal, but no audio, so obviously it wasn't breaking the squelch. But I could definitely hear him loud and clear. So I can receive, you know, from your node. I'm just not getting it opened up on, you know, I'm not opening up your node.
Yeah, which makes sense because it's set for DCS right now. Until you get your CTCSS set up right, I'm not going to switch until you get that all right, all finalized and ready to go. And then it usually takes me like 30 seconds to go out there and switch it around.
Okay, that makes sense now. That your node is only operating in one mode. So I wonder why Travis wasn't able to hear me.
I believe you probably don't have a CTCSS either turned on or you don't have the correct tone selected. I believe it was 85.4 if you're using that tone.
Okay, I just went back and looked at it. It's 88.5, and I thought I had saved it, but apparently I didn't. So I got to go back and learn how to save it.
Yeah, that'd be the culprit right there. If you're using 88.5, believe it or not, the tone receivers are pretty sensitive. With a few hertz, they will not allow signals to. It's pretty progressive, actually. I think once being only off a few hertz.
Yeah, that is really good. But it makes sense because with your node, it's more of a selective. What do they call that? Selective calling or selective something?
Well, I run tone just because it's, first of all, it's got wide coverage, as you know. It's hooked to All-Star, so anybody for radio, even if they're not a ham, they could dial into that and, go anywhere. And, you know, they could cause some havoc if they wanted to, if they knew what they were doing. So that's where the tones add a little security to it, where it will won't allow, you know, if they don't have the right tone, they won't use it, and then hopefully they'll just give up. And it won't allow them authorization how to use the node, hopefully.
That all makes sense. It's funny how this is all the ham stuff that I've been, you know, studying for my technician and studying for my general is all starting to make sense to me now.
Yeah, you'll get it there. And you're just starting out. What is this, your first year being a ham? So, I mean, me and Travis have been doing it for, almost 15 years. So, I'm pretty sure my first time wasn't the greatest. And, and Travis, I'm sure went through the same thing. I think we had more time. Obviously, when I was a lot younger, I had more time to play with stuff, and I able to learn pretty quick.
Yeah, I think we do learn faster when we're younger. Not that we still can as we get older. That's obvious. I've been able to learn things. I just need to be more patient and read more thoroughly.
So do you learn by reading or do you learn by doing? I'm a learn more by doing than reading.
More by doing. I think it's kind of a little bit of a combination of both for me. The more I read it, the more I understand it, but actually doing it I learn more. So that's why I just got to keep working at it.
And like I said, you'll get there. Like I said, I wasn't probably glorious my first day, but I do it like once, I think I'm good. And like I said, once you learn how to do this as well, set tones up, channels and all that stuff, all the radios are basically the same. There's not really much difference in them. Some of them might have some added features, like now I know GPS is starting to be a thing now in a lot of them. If that's Big Brother adding that stuff in, they want us to put that stuff in, but yeah, GPS is one of them. I know a lot of them are starting to get more APRS and stuff into them, so they're evolving a little bit, but still, it's pretty much still the basic radio settings and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. You you've got a receive mode, you've got a transmit mode, you know, you're using DCS, you're using CTSS, you know, PLs. I think PLs and CTSS are the same. So it's just a matter of knowing which button to push to do what. And that's where I need to be a little more aware. I did make copies of what the buttons do, so as I'm looking through how to program the radio, that I can have that right in front of me instead of having to flip back and forth between pages. I think that's going to help.
Yeah, I think PL is short for CTCSS. It stands for private line. Yeah, the stuff people saying CTCSS, I guess they just did PL. Yeah, it made things easy, I guess, for short term, I guess that's what it was for.
Okay, yeah, PL, that makes sense, private line. I think I've seen that, like you said, PL is the same as the CTSS. What I'm struggling with right now, studying for the general, is those Q codes that they don't seem to make sense to me, where, like, you know, for a complete break or, you know, whatever, you know, if there's too much static, it doesn't, the numbers or the letters don't seem to make sense to me yet. I'm trying to find a way to memorize them, or not memorize them, but make them fit, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, you'll get there. You'll get there. Funny how I never used to know what the call districts are. You know, I didn't know what they were. And now, listening to All-Star and, you know, like New York is a 2, Pennsylvania is like 3, because, you know, in our call sign, we'll have, like, a number in them. So it identifies, you know, what's what. I know Florida's a 4, Oregon's 8. Just about got them all memorized. I know Texas is 5. But don't know all of them, almost all of them.
Okay, yeah, now that you mention that, now I see it. You know, you got KC2PET, Jeff is KC2NVM, and I'm KE2GDQ. So that all makes sense that that's all in that area, in New York. That makes sense.
Yep, the more you do, the better, the more you learn. It's, I think it's a good hobby. I think it will help you, you know, keep your memory fresh. I wish that's something my parents did. Obviously, their memory's slipping. I think if they did more or learned more, I think they wouldn't be the state that they're in. It just seems like they're just, I don't know, done, it seems like to me. I know my mom's issue. My dad's starting to get that way, though. So anyway, so I got to get in there, Brad. It's my time to go in. So KD2GDQ, and this is KC2PET. Have fun trying to set that radio. If you get it, let me know. I will change my note, and if not, no big deal. I will talk to you tomorrow. 73.
KC2PET, this is KD2GDQ. You have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and we're clear of this channel.